I'm going to read you a passage of scripture here in John chapter 3, and starting in verse 23, if you want to follow along. John chapter 3 and verse 23, I'm going to read down through verse 31, okay? And you just follow if you will. John chapter 3, Gospel of John chapter 3, verses 23 through 31, okay? And John also was baptizing in Enon, where near to Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and Jews about purifying, and they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth, but he that cometh from heaven is above all. I remember hearing R.G. Lee preach a whole message on that, Christ above all. It was an incredible thing. Never forgot it. It's been 37 years ago. But Jesus is above all. Anyway, okay, that simple verse there in verse 30, what does it say? He must increase, but I must decrease. Okay, he must increase, but I must decrease. This is a very, very powerful little verse. I mean, it's short, to the point, and simple, but it is all about the Christian life, okay? The Christian life, start to finish. That is a philosophy that we need to adhere to. He must increase, but I must decrease. And then again, the next day, he must increase, but I must decrease. And so on, in every stage and step of your life as a Christian. The more he increases, the more you decrease. That's called growth and grace. That's what grace is. Grace is favor, God's help, God's blessing in our life. Well, how do we grow in grace? Well, we decrease. Amen? Anyway, okay, so he must increase, but I must decrease. You know, that's how you got saved. That's how you got saved. At first, you were a humanist. At first, you said, the answer's in me. At first, you said, I'm going to be good enough to get to heaven. I'm going to deserve this. I mean, I'm going to earn it, right? You know, most of us thought like that. Most of us said, well, I'm going to make it somehow. I'm going to please God somehow with my life. All right. Well, then comes along the preacher and says, you're a sinner. You're rotten. You're worthless. You need to get saved. And you're like, whoa, all of a sudden you're decreasing. Okay. And he said, Jesus is the answer, not you. And Jesus increases. Well, it's how you got saved. He must increase, I must decrease, or you don't get saved in the first place, right? Okay, well, that's growth in the Christian life. As you grow as a Christian, you find out more and more and more that he increases in your life and you decrease. If that's not happening, you're not growing as a Christian, okay? The closer you get to him, the more you see his glory, the more you see how wonderful and magnificent he is, the more puny and worthless you seem, okay? Well, that's how it works. Okay, he must increase, but I must decrease. All right, so one day I came and I heard this, and I decreased. I humbled myself, and I said, you know what? Okay, I need to get saved. Yeah, okay, and he's the Savior. I'm the sinner. All right, and I came to that realization that I could not save myself. I had to decrease in order to do that, right? All right, and then he had to increase in order for me to see the gospel and trust in him and get saved, all right? Well, in every step of my Christian life, it was the same way. It was exactly the same thing. I got saved. I got on fire for God, you know? And right away, I'm diving in the Bible, like Brother June said this morning. I couldn't get enough of it. I found this Bible reading plan, Jim Vineyard's Bible reading plan in his book on bus ministry. It was 27 chapters. You know how long it takes to read 27 chapters? It's like a couple hours. couple hours, depending on what chapters, where you're at in the Bible. It takes anywhere from an hour and 45 to 2.5 to read that. And that was my Bible reading plan every day all of a sudden. And, you know, the assistant pastor standing back looking at me saying, "Whoa, boy," he said, I have a hard time finding 20 minutes to read the Bible, you know. But I was wanting to soak it in. I was wanting to increase. I was wanting him to increase in my life. I was wanting to know more about it. And I couldn't get enough of the Bible there and just soaking it in. Any rate, I had to take a stand one day, okay? You remember the first time you had to take a stand for the Lord? Okay, that's called growth and grace, because you have to humble yourself to say, "I don't care what you think about me. I don't care how stupid you think I am. I don't care how idiotic I look. I'm going to stand for God." Amen? Well, you have to humble yourself to do that. Okay, and he has to increase. You see the connection there? He must increase. If he's going to be important in your life, if he's going to be big enough to serve, then he's big enough to stand for. Okay, and you have to humble yourself to do it. And I had to humble myself that day. I was a musician for a long time before I got saved. Right, and I had collected this big old collection of albums, of record albums. Right, and of course they were godly Christian. LPs and 45 and all this stuff. Well, anyway, I decided I needed to get my music straight, get my music right with God, right? And so I didn't sell them. I didn't give them away, because I was just smart enough to realize that if it wasn't good for me, then it wasn't good for John Doe either, okay? Or it wasn't. So I took all my albums. There's about $1,000 worth of records there. You know, they were talking 37 years ago, okay? $1,000 back then was a lot of money. Well, I sat in the back of the pickup truck and started breaking these. I went outside, away out of my, so all the pieces didn't go everywhere in the house. I went and sat in the back of the pickup truck, and I got a garbage bag, and I started breaking these things. And first, my brother comes out, and he says, "What are you doing?" I says, "Well, I'm getting rid of my music." He said, "You are nuts. You have gone over the edge. You are insane." I said, "Well..." He said, "You need to sell those. There's a lot of money there." I said, "No, I need to get rid of them, because they're not good for anybody. They're not good for you. They're not good for me. They're not good for anybody else." And he's not a Christian. He didn't understand that at all. He cussed me. He said I was a blankety blank idiot. And he went back. Well, then my dad came out, and I was sitting there busting these things. And my dad looked like, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm breaking records." Yeah. Not the Olympic kind. Anyway, I was breaking records, and he did the same thing. He called me different names, said I was insane, said I was, you know, what did it say, that certifiably over the edge, but I sat there and I took a stand for God, and I broke all them lousy records, and it helped me. I grew as a Christian. I had to humiliate myself. I had to make him important. I had to let him increase and me decrease in order to grow as a Christian. But I grew that day. I took a stand, and I took it on the chin, and I came out the other side saying, "Okay, we can do this," you know. But see, I couldn't do it. He could do it. At any rate, so I went on in my Christian life. The pastor said to me, he said, "Stoltz, you know, you need to start going soul winning." I said, "Yes, sir, I need to start going soul winning." I got involved in the church. I got soul winning, and I was coming all the time to church, and I'd sleep there sometimes just so I was there. You don't have to believe me, but I'm telling you the truth. I had to walk to church because my parents wouldn't, my dad wouldn't take me, okay? My brother wouldn't take me. I walked to church, and I was walking back and forth to the services. It's about 6 miles from my house, okay? About 6 miles from my house. Well, I was walking back and forth every service, and I wasn't thinking too much about it. And then one day, one of the assistant pastors there, he asked me, he said, "Hey, can I give you a ride home?" I said, "Sure." He said, "Okay." Well, I jumped the car, and he's driving down the road. He says, "Where to?" I said, "Oh, take a left here." He said, "Okay." I said, "Where to?" I said, "Well, you go over there and take a right." He said, "Where to?" I said, "Oh, you go down there." And then he said, "How far do you live?" He said, "Well, we're not there yet." But we went on out, and we went out this road, and went out that road. He says, "How do you get to church?" I said, "I walk." And it just floored him, okay? But I was growing as a Christian because I was willing to humble myself and let God increase and become important in my life, all right? It came time to go to college. It came time to go to college, and my pastor said to me, he said, "Stoltz, you need to consider going to college." And I had considered joining the Air Force, all right? I mean, I'd already given up my dream of being a musician. I knew that was wrong because, you know, I give up my music. I give up my dream of being a musician. But then I was thinking, well, I'm going to go in the Air Force and I'm going to learn computers and all this stuff. And the preacher said, no, you need to go to college, Bible college. And I said, what? He said, you need to go to Bible college. I said, well, I don't know. Okay, but what I had to do right there, I had to humble myself. I had to ditch my views and my plans and my will. I had to decrease, okay, and I had to magnify the Lord and His will. He had to increase. It's a way of life, and it has been going that way for the last 37 years, okay? Over and over again, I have to come back to it. He must increase, I must decrease, okay? I went to college and got on a bus and taking off for college. My dad's standing there saying, I give you about a month, you'll be home. That's what he said to me. Real supportive, you know. I got all. He said, I give you about a month, you'll be back. And he wasn't kidding. He wasn't just saying that. That was what he figured. And he was being truthful. He thought it was another fad. I'd been a long-haired hippie up to that point, a worthless bum. And I know, no comments. It hasn't changed, right? But I had been a worthless bum up to that point and take gone with every wind of change. And he said, well, this is just another wind of change. At any rate, I said, no, I'm going to college. Okay. And you know, in order to do that, you have to ditch your own will. You have to ditch your own logic. You have to ditch your own pleasure. You have to ditch your own comfort and whatever. It's not an easy thing to decide to go off to Bible college. You have to humble yourself. You have to give up your own will. That's called decreasing. You have to give up, you know, what you want. That's called decreasing. You have to back off and say, okay, I've always wanted to do this and I've always wanted to do that, but forget it. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. That's called decreasing. And then you magnify God's will for your life. That's called increasing, okay? I must decrease. He must increase. That's how it works. All right? I went to college and got on the bus with enough money for 1 month's tuition, okay? I was going to Hiles Anderson College, and I drove on that bus 2,200 miles across the country, and I showed up there in Northwest Indiana, Hiles Anderson College. And I got off the bus, and I found right away, went over to the payphone, and I said, hey, I'm here. I'm excited. And they said, okay, good. We'll see you in 2 weeks. I said, excuse me? That's what they said. They said, we'll see you in 2 weeks. I said, 2 weeks? I said, but I'm here now. They said, good, we'll see you in 2 weeks. That's when the dorms open up. They don't open up for 2 weeks, so we'll see you in 2 weeks. I said, what am I supposed to do for 2 weeks? Stand here in the corner? And I okay, well, we were facing another trial. And then I had to decide, okay, so what do I do? Do I use this money for my first month's tuition and buy a bus ticket back home, or what? Well, how do I do this? And I didn't, honestly, I knew not what to do. I was 21 years old. I was standing there with, what is that? It's a suitcase, but a bigger, any rate, it's a big suitcase on this side and a duffel bag on this side. All my worldly possessions. That was everything, all right? I was packed and moved, all right? Big suitcase and a duffel bag. Standing there at the phone booth going, well, wait a minute, 2 weeks, what am I going to do? This and so I grew as a Christian. I said, okay, when I don't know what to do, I'm not going to try and reason it out, and I'm not going to try and depend on myself here. I said, I'm going to turn to God and depend on God. I'm going to decrease and I'm going to increase, okay, Him. And I got down on my knees. I just dropped. I said, Lord, help. 2 weeks, Lord. If I spend the money on hotels or food, I won't have the money to go to college. If I spend any of this money, if I spend $2 of this money, I won't have the money to go to college. So I just begged Him for a few minutes. God, you got to help me. You got to do something. Now, I learned there an interesting lesson that when I will humble myself before God and come to Him with my need, then He will answer. I got back up. I called the college back again because it's the only phone number I had, only thing I knew to do. I called them back. I said, help. And they said, oh, we've got it figured out. We know exactly what you need to do. They said, the Hammond City Rescue Mission is down there. It's run by First Baptist Hammond. It's right next to the church. You get three free meals a day. You get your place to sleep free. You get preaching twice a day for free. And you can spend the 2 weeks there. Go figure. A free place to stay, three free meals a day, preaching twice a day. Why? Because I didn't turn tail and run. I said, okay, God. I humbled myself and went back to him. I says, now you got to help me. You got to help me. Because I didn't see any other way out but then to just get back on the bus. I wasn't standing on the corner for 2 weeks. But I humbled myself, and I grew as a Christian right there and learned something about dependence upon God. Okay? All right. Well, he must increase, I must decrease. Remember that. That is a statement, a mission statement for the Christian life. That is how to do it. That is how to get through it. That is how to grow in grace. Okay? What about it, Eve? Eve in the Bible. What did she do? Oh, the devil comes along and he talks to her and says, hey, Eve. Eve, don't you wish you were like God? Don't you wish you could increase, Eve? Don't you wish you could be the one to decide good and evil? Don't you wish you could be big like God? And she went to increasing instead of decreasing. And what happened to her? Okay, well, it was a big mess. It was a big mess. All right? When she increased, when she should have decreased, she should have humbled herself right there, and she didn't. Well, you see what happened. All right? Go to the next one, Abraham, all right? Here's Abraham, and God comes to him and says, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. And Abraham's like, I just got this boy. I mean, I'm 100 years old, and I've been waiting all my life for this boy, and now you want me to kill him? And he said, Lord, you have the preeminence in my life. God, I trust you. God, I'm going to do what you say. And he backed off. He said, it makes no sense to me. I don't want this, but I'm going in the background and I'm going to do what God said. I'm going to magnify his will and his word and his way and his what he wants. I'm going to magnify him. How'd that work out, Abraham? Well, amen. Isaac, the son of promise. His offspring was as the stars for multitude. Okay, it worked out, didn't it? It always works out when you're willing to humble yourself and decrease and back off and say, less of me and more of him. Okay? Less of me and more of him. What does that song say? Once it was a feeling, now it is his word. Once I sought for... I don't remember the song, but it says everything is Jesus and Jesus is everything. Of Jesus will I sing. It goes on to say, you know, I've grown, and it's not so much about what I get and what I have and what I want, and it's not about me anymore. It's about him. It's not about me anymore. It's about him. Well, Abraham had to back off and say, it's not about me. It's not about what I want. I love my boy and I want to see him raised up. I want to, you know, see my grandkids, but God, you know, it's about you. He had to back down and decrease, and God increased, and he blessed. What happened to Joseph? Joseph was in the land of Egypt, and Joseph and his brethren were there, and they came to him. They had sold him into Egypt. They had belittled him. They had talked about killing him. and they had got him put in prison for several years. He had gone through hell on earth. And all of a sudden, here they were, and they were at his mercy. He was the one in charge. He could wreak havoc on them. He could hit them with vengeance like you wouldn't believe. He was in a position to totally destroy them and get back at them like crazy. But he said, Lord, I'm going to magnify your love and your mercy. I'm going to magnify your forgiveness. He turned to his brothers and says, no, let me take care of you. Let me help you. Okay? He grew that day. Every time that we're willing to magnify his love and forgiveness and say vengeance belongs unto the Lord, we're willing to turn around to somebody, forgive them, and help them, and try and be a blessing to them, we'll grow as a Christian. That's called, I must decrease. He must increase. That's growth in grace. That's growth as a Christian. It's a way of life. Okay? Here's King David. Well, teenager David. Teenager David's out in the world. He's out in the war, okay? Teenager David comes up against giant Goliath. And notice the two different philosophies, okay? Goliath is there, and he's 9 foot tall. He's the strongest man around, the biggest, meanest, toughest, been training ever since he was a kid. He is a bad dude. I mean, you know, his sword is as tall as David is, and his armor weighs as much as David does. And they, you know, he's a bad dude. And here comes little David out there, and Goliath says, "Come to me, I will feed you to the birds. I will crush your bones. I will shish kebab you, buddy. Come over here. I will take care of you." That was his philosophy, okay? What did David say? David said, "You come to me with a sword and with a shield and in your power." He said, "But I come to you in the name of the Lord God." He said, I'm not in this, buddy. He said, "I'm just serving God. It's his idea. It's his power. It's his will. And he'll take care of it." He backed off. He did not put himself to the front. Well, good for him. He didn't depend on what he could do. He depended on what God could do. Okay? That's called I must decrease and he must increase. Okay? And the outcome was, you know, history. That's how it works. When we are willing to humble ourselves. Okay? How do you decrease? How do you decrease? So 2 Chronicles 7:14, what does it say? "If my people, which are called by my name," and that's us, "if my people, which are called by my name," that's Christians, he said, "shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." Now, if I had a set of dominoes up here today, I would put one for humble themselves, I would put two for pray, I put three for seek their face, I put another one, fourth one for turn from their wicked ways, and I'd put a fifth one for then forgive their sin, and a seventh one for heal their land, okay? It starts with the first one. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves." How do you decrease? You humble yourself. Amazing. It's that simple. Honestly, it is that simple. To grow in grace, boom. You humble yourself, then you will pray. If you humble yourself, if you need God, if you decide, if you get up in the morning and say, "God, I can't do this. God, I'm not big enough. God, I'm not wise enough. God, I don't want to trust in my wisdom. I don't want to trust in what I can do. God, I want to trust in what you can do." Okay? When you're willing to do that, you will seek his face. You will pray and seek his face, and you will turn from your wicked ways. That's called yield to the Holy Spirit. Okay? You will do that if you will, first domino, humble yourself. Humble yourself. That's where it's at. Growth in the Christian life. I must decrease. He must increase. I must decrease. Okay? Growth in the Christian life. What is the opposite of humble yourself? The opposite of humble yourself is humanism. They call it pride. Pride and humanism are interchangeable, synonymous. It's the same thing. What is pride? Okay? Definition by Dr. Jack Hiles. Pride is independence from God. Pride is independence from God. Anytime where you're independent from God, you don't need him. I can handle this. I got this. Anytime you don't need God, you're proud. Okay? To the extent that you don't need God, to that extent, you're proud. Okay? To that extent. Okay? Humbling yourself is when you say, "I need him. I need him. I can't do this without him. I choose not to do this without him. I choose not to trust myself. I choose not to trust what I can do." That's called humbling yourself. The opposite, humanism. What does humanism say? What is the definition of humanism? It says man is his own God. What does it say? It says man has the answer within himself. That's what humanism says. Humanism says you need to propagate your own wisdom. You need to build your own knowledge. You need to rely upon yourself because you can do it. That's humanism. Okay? That is humanism. Straightforward. Man is his own God. Man has his own answer and it is within himself. And if you would look for the answer, you look for it right in here. That's what humanism says. That's pride. Independence from God. Okay? So, if we're going to grow as a Christian, if we're going to, we're going to humble ourselves and not depend upon ourselves and not look to our own wisdom and our own sufficiency. We're going to turn to him and magnify him. He must increase, I must decrease. How do you deal with situations in your life? How do you deal with situations in your life? You you have problems and issues. Everyone in here who's over 30 years old has got a broken heart for one reason or the other. How do you deal with it? Do you say, I can make it? Do you say, I can take it? Do you say, I'm going to be enough? I'm going to figure a way? Or do you get down on your knee and say, God, I need you. God, will you help me? God, I can't handle this without you, God. Did you know the Bible says every man at his best state is altogether vanity? You know what vanity is? Emptiness. Like a balloon or something in it. Okay? That's emptiness. That's vanity. Every man at his best state, is on your best day, in your best moment, altogether vanity. Okay? Well, the sooner we face that, the sooner we deal with that and live with that, the sooner we're going to come to grow in grace, to grow as a Christian. He must increase, I must decrease. Okay? So, when my heart's broken, I don't say I'm going to be all right. I don't say I'm going to make it. I'm going to take it. I get on my knees and say, God, I need you. God, I've got to have you. God, you got to help me. God, I cannot make it without you. That is the proper response. That's called growth in grace. One of the best Christian I've ever known. I'm not saying he was the best Christian, but he was the best one I ever knew. Was Brother Hiles, Dr. Jack Hiles. he talked one time in one of his sermons. He said, candidly, he said, many times when I leave out of here, he said, on a Sunday afternoon, he said, many times when I leave out of here, I will drive straight to my prayer place. Sorry. I will drive straight to my place of prayer. He said, he had this country road somewhere that he went to, and he would get along where nobody knew where he was at, and he could be by himself. He said, I would drive straight to my place of prayer. He said, I'd fall on my face and do nothing for 2 hours except for cry out, help, help, help. That's what he said, it happens again and again and again. He said, more so the older I get. He did not depend on his own sufficiency. He did not do what he could do. If you know Brother Hiles, he did what to take more than a couple of men to do. All right, I won't even go into all he did, but he had the largest church in the world and authored 40 books and ran 3 school systems and you name it, a college. Besides preaching across the country like 4 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, Friday, he was always out somewhere preaching. Besides all that, he counseled like 80 people a week in his office, half-hour counseling appointments. How do you do that? He prayed 20 hours a week, spent 20 hours a week soul winning. The man never slept, I guess, but like, incredible the things he was able to accomplish, but he did not depend upon himself. He, more than anybody I ever know, depended on God, okay? And that is called growth in grace, growth in the Christian life. How do you grow as a Christian? How do you have a happy, prosperous, successful Christian life? It's right there in those words. He must increase, I must decrease. Learn it, live it, make it part of your life. Come back to it over and over and over again. And 30 years from now, okay, well, for some of you, 30 years from now, you'll be serving God. You'll be happy and walking with God and growing in the Lord. Okay? Any rate, we're going to bow our heads and close our eyes. We're going to pray. Father, thank you for the truth of the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that you are every bit the great and mighty God that I need to be able to put myself aside and trust in you, Lord. Help me. Thank you, Lord, so much that you're sufficient, Lord, that you're everything that I could possibly want or need, Lord. And it's not hard for me to set myself aside. It's not hard for me to humble myself and trust in you, Lord, when I see it that way, when I understand it, Father. I love you, and I really pray, Lord, that you would help these folks tonight to gain this simple little phrase to help it to stick in their brain, help it to stick in their craw and never leave, Lord, to where they would remember it years from now, and it would become a motto and a mission statement of their life. He must increase, I must decrease, Lord. one of the greatest men who ever lived, John the Baptist, the Bible says, none greater born among women. That was his motto. He must increase, I must decrease. Lord, help me to make that mine. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, you're in here today, and you say, Brother Stoltz, you pray for me. I need to make that the big thing in my life. He must increase, I must decrease. I want to make that a big part of my life. I want that to be my philosophy and my mission statement. If that's you, you raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you. Father, you see the hands, and Lord, I pray that you would help each heart to sincerely guard this simple truth in their hearts and minds tonight and, Lord, for the rest of their life. Lord, may it change lives, we pray. Now, let's all stand together.